Good morning. It is 8:19, and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm News Director Jonathan Reeves. Joining me this morning in the studio is Mark West. West is a Libertarian challenger who is facing current Republican U.S. Congressman Rick Crawford in this year's race for the U.S. House seat for the 1st Congressional District. And good morning, Mr. West. Thank you for coming in this morning. Appreciate you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me in.
If you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind, please.
Okay. I am a Southern Baptist pastor, first and foremost. I have, been in Christian service for more than 15 years. I'm bivocational, so I work a full-time job while I pastor, so that, leads to 60, 70-hour work weeks. And I'm a husband. I have three children. My wife is a school nurse there in Batesville. My secular work is in office management, where I deal with taxation, government regulation, payroll, billing, and all the things that impact a business on the operational standpoint. And from where I come from, I love my country and I love liberty, and that is one of the things that really matters to me. And it was one of the attributes and the characteristics that was built into me when I was here at Arkansas State studying back in the late 90s.
Okay. Why did you decide to run for the seat?
In 2008, that was when I became politically active. I was in the Tea Party and was really trying to, as an activist, I come from an activist background, and we were activists to try to get taxes cut. We wanted to see lower taxes, which meant we wanted to see smaller government. We wanted to see smaller budgets. We wanted to see the federal debt diminished. When we got together in 2010, we began looking at candidates, and we picked several candidates that we were going to work for and we were going to support and we were going to try to push and promote. And Congressman Crawford was one of those candidates. And one of the things he talked about on the campaign trail was cutting the budget. He talked about keeping the debt down. And one of the things that we've noticed is in the process of time, those haven't seemed to be the priorities that he's been after. And we just haven't seen enough action on those. And the other reason is I believe I present a clear difference to voters. I come from a liberty standpoint as a Libertarian candidate, and we really believe the government is way too involved in people's individual lives, involved too much in small businesses and how they operate, that our federal government has become so large that it stifles the economy, it stifles opportunity, and it stifles liberty. And I want to present a pro-liberty aspect, a pro-liberty viewpoint to voters in District 1 here in Arkansas, to see if enough of them want to get behind that. And hopefully, if I'm elected, I can go to Washington and begin doing those things. If not, hopefully we can present enough of that perspective to Rick and show him there are enough voters in the district that do care about liberty issues that maybe he'll work harder on the liberty issues when he goes back to Washington.
What is your strategy for winning a state that has increasingly gone Republican over the past three election cycles?
The main strategy is the primary focus is on the economy, on jobs. The way things have gone in Congress, you have a Congress that has a 10% approval rating. Depending on what poll you look at, it hovers between 8 and 15. It's not good. Two out of every three voters when polled say they would replace the guy who's currently in office if they could just get a candidate that got out there and gave them a better option. So my strategy is, as I said, to present a clear difference. We want to see a government that's less involved in small business, that puts less burden on small businesses, and that's what we're going to work for. A government that sees individual liberty as something that should matter to people who serve in government, whether it is the government spying on people, whether it is the government involvement in our gun rights or in what we say at churches or what we say in public or where we can have free speech, whether people make decisions about the relationships. We just want to present to the voters in Arkansas District 1 a picture of a government that says, your life is your life. We trust you to take responsibility for your life. We don't exist to take care of you. We don't exist to tell you what to do. We exist to give you the freedom and trust you to have responsibility and empowerment to live your own life.
Mark West joining us here on KASU. One of the issues that you talked about is the debt. Of course, it's about $19 trillion, a little over that. How would you tackle the debt issue if you go up to Washington?
In Washington, in order to tackle the debt, you're going to have to get a few things in place. You have to be pragmatic about it. You have to begin looking at federal expenditures that are being spent on things that are not constitutionally authorized. Begin cutting those expenditures, working to make cuts in all the what you would call the amendment bills. You know, you get these bills and people put amendments to pay for this project here and that project there, and you have all this money flowing out. So that's one avenue. You've also got to reform Social Security. You've got to make it solvent. You've got to make the guarantee to people what it should be. And at the same time, you've got to keep looking at programs, how much money we're spending on war. The biggest expenditure in our Congress outside of interest that's paid on our debt is what we're paying for war. Our defense budget includes treaties with 69 countries that we're on the tab to defend them if something happens. We can't be the world's policeman. We can't continue wars of intervention overseas. We've created enough problems with our military influence, so we need to scale that back, cut that defense budget, and in doing so, we can begin balancing the budget, and as we get the budget balanced, we can eventually begin having budget surpluses and be able to begin cutting and paying down the debt.
Recently, you signed a pledge to end the Department of Education. Why did you sign that pledge?
I signed that pledge because I believe the Department of Education, first and foremost, is not a constitutionally authorized department. Secondly, I believe that the money that flows through the Department of Education, when it gets back to the local, whether it's a local school, whether it's a state-funded college, wherever the money winds up coming back to, it goes through and it has to cycle through all these chambers. So if you send $20 there, you might get $2 to $5 back in your community. I say, why don't we just keep all $20 in the community and just eliminate that? Each state already has a Department of Education. It already works with school superintendents and school boards to deal with what's best for schools in those local areas. I believe that the local area is the best place to handle education because those people are dealing with the students in those schools and they know what those needs are, so it's best to keep that money locally so that it can be spent on local needs.
If the Department of Education was eliminated, how would you ensure that there would be an equal and adequate education across the United States?
Well, that responsibility falls to the states. If the states are going to have a state board of education, they need to be concerned about dealing with equal education within that state. The federal government was not designed to be the national babysitter, and that's what we've tried to be with the Department of Education. Now, if the states get together and decide to form co-ops with one another to try to achieve and accomplish those purposes in a more efficient manner, then something like that might be a good idea. But you would have to try to keep it in the private industry as much as possible so that you have this incentive. Right now in the Department of Education, you don't have the incentive. What you wind up getting from the Department of Education is, hey, we want test scores, we want results, and all the money is tied to you doing what we tell you to do. Whereas schools should have that money available to meet the needs they see need met in their school district.
What do you think about Common Core? Should it be taken out of the schools?
I believe it should. I believe that it sets up teaching to tests is what you wind up with Common Core. We have and this is from my own personal experience, we have a son that has a learning disability. And as he was going through school, they changed in our school district, they changed, you know, from the way they were teaching math to this new Common Core math. And it lost him. We actually had to pull him out of school for a year and reteach him math so that he could go back into school. You know, basically, we held him back so that we could get him back where the school district was. It totally threw him for a loop, and there was no help for him in the school district, the way it was arranged and the way Common Core worked. So I think it creates an extra burden on parents. A lot of parents are having to Google how to do math problems rather than be able to spend that time actually dealing with their kids, maybe a textbook coming home or a printout coming home, helping them with problems. I think it has created a lot more problems than it's solved, and it's created a system where teachers are not being rewarded for being who they are. Teachers have a special knack, this ability for knowing their students, knowing what their needs are, knowing where they are at learning-wise, and being able to deal with them where they are. When you have a system that is set up in the education system, this top-down thing that emphasizes testing and emphasizes curriculum and emphasizes standards, the teachers don't have the flexibility to deal with a student that may be getting behind in class, that needs something extra or needs some extra help.
Mark West joining us here on KASU. Let's talk about health care, you know, with Arkansas Works and, of course, with the Affordable Care Act. What are your thoughts? There are some that are concerned that costs continue to go up, especially when it comes to premiums. And when you think about the Affordable Care Act and Arkansas Works, do you think that it needs to be repealed? Do you think it needs to be changed? What are your thoughts on health care?
I think it needs to be repealed, and it can be done in ways that would create, again, opportunities for local involvement. For a big word for libertarians called voluntarism, people working in the local communities to help each other out. The biggest problem in healthcare isn't access, it's cost. Cost is what prohibits the access. When you have drug manufacturers like Big Pharma, insurance companies have worked their lobbies in Washington to make sure they're protected in this type of legislation, where you have drug companies that you can't really negotiate drug prices. You have insurance where you have to buy this type of insurance from this type of company, and you wind up cornering that market. So it removes the incentive. It creates a non-competitive market. And when you have a non-competitive market, you're going to have an increase in cost, just like your local electric bill. You know, you have one company that's doing all the electricity, so they control how much your electric bill is going to be. Every time you remove competition, you increase costs. So we've got to find a way to get competition back into the healthcare system. And one of the ways to do that is to get away from all this centralized medicine. And that's what the Affordable Care Act, Arkansas Works, that's what that all is it's centralized medicine. And it really upset me to see what happened with a local Congress lady in our area, Linda Collins Smith. She was one of the senators that was opposing the Arkansas Works. And I watched, where stores were running the paper. You know, these kids aren't going to get their care if Linda Collins Smith and other senators continue to stand against Arkansas Works, which was false. It was patently false, but it was designed to drive people to call into Colin Smith and be upset at her and make her, end the standoff. We have got to get where we're honest about where the costs are coming in healthcare. People in America are compassionate, and when we know there are families in need in our communities, truly in need, we'll find ways to help those people in our communities. We'll find ways to make sure they have what they need. The problem with the law is the law has taken that opportunity away from local communities and from doctors, and you're beginning to see that rebellion, that backlash. You're beginning to see some black market medicine set up where doctors are going on cash basis with clients just to avoid the whole insurance system altogether. And we've got to avoid those things. And one of the ways to avoid it is to get away from this centralized concept of medicine.
So what would you replace it with? How would you like to see healthcare? And we have about 90 seconds.
The replacement is going to take time. You're going to have to look at where you're at as a system, because what you've begun is you've begun this shift where you've shifted so many people into a market and you're seeing states begin to go bankrupt. And I'm afraid with what we've done with Arkansas Works, we're going to see the same thing. So we have got to make the case in the local communities to try to set up local things, local co-ops to help diminish the cost and create more access to healthcare.
Okay. Mark West joining us here on KASU. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We look forward to having you back.